power of the Holy Spirit. Our text for this morning is the verse 8. Verse 8, Acts chapter 1. The word of the Lord to the apostles. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You will have noticed in verses 7 and 8, we find the word power mentioned. The Lord said, in verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And then in verse 8, ye shall receive power. Now in the original, we have two different words with different meanings. In verse 7, the word power there means privilege or authority. The disciples were wanting to know about future events in Israel. But the Savior told them that that was not for them to know. That was the Father's privilege. So they were not to be concerned about this matter. The Lord informed them what would take place in Israel was the Father's privilege alone for him to know. For those disciples, there was a more pressing need that they were to attend to. For the Lord had told them in Mark 16, verse 25, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And to do that, the disciples needed to be well equipped and well prepared for such a task, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Lord did not want them to be distracted from the work that they had been chosen and called to do. They were not to give time to wondering what was going to happen in the future regarding Israel. No, they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. For he had called them with the words, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 4:19. And what was about to take place in their lives was part of that making. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That is why we find a different word for power in verse 8. There the word power means ability. So we may now read the words, "Ye shall receive ability after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." If they were going to be useful witnesses for the Lord, then the apostles needed that power and they needed that ability to do the work that God had called them to do. And if you and I are going to be effectively used for and by the Lord as his witnesses in this sinful world, we need that power. We must be given that ability, ability that comes alone from the Holy Spirit. So the apostles were on that day of Pentecost in that upper room waiting for the coming of the Holy Ghost and also the power that they would receive. May we have a longing in our hearts for such power and for such ability to serve the Lord in this day in which we live. I want us first of all to consider the source of the power. The source of the power. The Lord told his disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The fact that the power they needed would come upon them after the arrival of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, would indicate to us that prior to the coming of the Holy Ghost, they didn't have the power. They could not serve the Lord as they ought without the Holy Spirit's power and ability. We know that, for we read in Zechariah 4 and verse 6, "This is the word of the Lord, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." The word power there, and the word might, refers to the might, the power of an army. So really it is human might and human power. And the Lord said, it's not by the might of human power. It's not by the might of human endeavor that we are victorious. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Yet how many of the Lord's people try to serve the Lord in their own power and by their own ability. But the Lord makes it clear to his disciples that that is not possible. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we notice then that the power they needed was first of all a given power. The Lord says, ye shall receive. So if we receive something, that means it's given to us. And since the disciples were unable to produce such power of themselves, it had to be given to them. And the Lord has promised to give his people power that they might serve him effectively. Psalm 68, verse 35, we read, "The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God." The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Because we are such weak vessels, we need the power of God in our lives. And how thankful we are that God has promised to give us that power. We read in Isaiah 40 and verse 29, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." God gives the power. We have indeed a giving God, and his promise to give us power. Isn't that what the disciples were told to wait for? They were to wait for the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father was the coming of the Holy Spirit, and with the coming of the Holy Spirit was the promised power. Power that would be given to them that they may be witnesses unto the Lord in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. But for us, dear Christian, the Holy Spirit has already come. The disciples were waiting for his coming. But the Holy Spirit has come. As we read in John 14, verse 17, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit dwells with us and indeed is in us. And it is the Holy Spirit who gives us that power. There is no need for any Christian to live a powerless life, because, as the hymn writer has put it, all power is given unto me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit took up residence in us the moment we were born again. So we have the Holy Spirit. And he will give us the power that is needed, or the ability that is needed to serve him. Not only is it a given power, but we can see clearly it's God's power. Since the Holy Spirit is God, the power that he will give us is divine power. It indeed is the Holy Spirit's own power. For those words in verse 8 of Acts 1, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Those words may be rendered another way. They may be rendered the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. So it is the Holy Ghost's power, his power, divine power, that the Lord has promised the Holy Ghost will give us. The Holy Spirit will give us his power. The Holy Spirit will give us the power, the ability, his power, to do what God has called us to do. Paul has said in Romans 15, verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This is divine power that has been promised to us. And the power which has been given to us is the power which graced the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For in 2 Corinthians, in verse 12, in chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so not only do we have the power of the Holy Spirit, his power, but the power that grace, the life of the Lord Jesus, is our power also. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 3. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Now think of it. The power that the Lord Jesus had as he ministered for 3.5 years approximately is the power that you and I, believer, can have and know and experience in our lives. Is there anything we cannot do? Is there anything we cannot accomplish? Is there anything that we cannot achieve when we're under the influence and controlled by the power of the Holy Ghost? The word we have here for power is the Greek word dunamis. The word has various meanings. We've already noted the word power means ability. It means ability or capability. Ability to perform anything. That's the meaning of the word. Ability to perform anything. The word is also translated another way, as used of Paul in Ephesians 3, verse 16, where Paul states that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened by his, with his might. That's the word. The same word in Acts 1, verse 8, power, meaning ability. The same word here is translated might. Might, where does the might come from? Paul says, might by his Spirit in the inner man. And so there we are. We don't need terrified. We don't need to be timid. We don't need to be feeble or fearful when we come to be witnesses for the Lord. Why? Because we can have the power, the might, the ability of the Holy Spirit. And when we have such power and such might, all those things that would usually hinder us from speaking a word for the Lord to the unconverted will be overcome. Might by his Spirit. The Holy Ghost coming upon you will give you his power. That's what we have, the power and the might of the Spirit of God. We notice also, not only is it a given power, is it God's power, but it is a girded power. The Lord Jesus made it clear that when the disciples would receive the power after that the Holy Ghost was come upon them, they would be girded with power. Luke 24 says, and there we read in verse 49, And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But ye in ye be endued from on high. Endued. The word endued means to be clothed upon. That means that the disciples would be girded or clothed with power. So just as we need to wear our everyday clothes or garments wherever we go, we need to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we need to be clothed with the power of God. We can follow the example of the Lord Jesus, because we read in Acts 10 and verse 38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What did he do? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God the Holy Spirit was with him. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, and with power. And then this next phrase says, he went about doing good. In other words, the Lord Jesus was endued, was clothed upon with the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as he wore his regular garments, so he was girded with power. That's how he went about. And as believers, that's how we must go about. Girded with the power of the Holy Spirit. He went about doing good. And if we are girded or clothed upon with the power and the might of the Holy Spirit, you can be sure we will do good. But the Holy Ghost will lead us to do good and enable us to do good. That's how we are to go about, clothed upon with the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is something that we put off and then put on, depending on our circumstances or the company that we're in. We're to be clothed upon with power no matter where we are, no matter whose company we're in, no matter what we're doing. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to be girded with power of the Holy Spirit is necessary, is as necessary as wearing our everyday clothing. Shall be endued, clothed upon with power. We have the source of the power. Next, we have the signs of the power. We may ask, will there be signs of the Spirit's power in the Christian's life? Will there be evidence there that a believer is laboring and serving and witnessing and living in the power of the Spirit? Yes, there will be evidence. The evidence will be very clear. With the signs of the Spirit's power in the life of the believer. First, it will be seen in the believer's witness. in his witness. Indeed, we see that's why the power of the Holy Spirit was promised to the disciples. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall receive power, ye shall be witnesses. They needed the power to be witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem. In other words, the apostles were to begin their witness for the Lord at home. That's where they were. They were at Jerusalem. And the Lord says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye may be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem at home. That's the difficult place. We all know that it is more difficult to witness and be a witness before those who know us best, and be a witness to those at home. Therefore, we need the power to be an effective witness for the Lord at home. Next, Judea. She will witness unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea. If Jerusalem was the difficult place, Judea was the desert place. And in the Lord's work, we often find ourselves in the desert place. Places where there is little fruit for our labors. We're just like John the Baptist, who we'll consider this evening, Lord willing. We feel at times like John, who was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Judea, the desert place. So you need the power to serve the Lord in the desert place. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to serve the Lord at home in the difficult place. You need the power of the Lord to serve in Samaria, the dangerous place. For we know the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. There was great animosity between the two. Great hostility. So for Jews to take the gospel to the Samaritans and to witness to them about Jesus Christ needed the power. Needed the power. Sometimes over in Ulster, when the churches go out and give out gospel tracts, they will go up into hard Republican areas and take the gospel to those who were sympathetic with the Irish Republican Army and are of a different political and religious persuasion. It's a dangerous place. You need the power of God to go to such places. And for our missionaries who go throughout the world bringing the gospel to witness for the Lord, they are found in dangerous places as well. They need the power. Power of the Holy Ghost. And that leads us then to the uttermost parts of the earth, the Lord said. That's the distant place. When we think of our dear missionaries, we should always pray for them. You think of our missionaries who have gone to Kenya, gone to India, gone to Spain, gone further afield. Many of them are in dangerous situations. They need the power, the ability to go to such places and be witnesses for the Lord in those places. And the Lord saying to the disciples, if you're going to be a witness for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, you'll need the power of God. The power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And when we look at the apostles and their ministry, that power was seen. It was evident. There were the signs of the power of God in their lives. As we read in Acts 4 and verse 29, now, and now, Lord, they're having a prayer meeting. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. There's the power. They weren't timid. They weren't terrified. They weren't fearful of what men would say about them or do to them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with boldness. And my, how we need that boldness in the difficult place. We need that boldness in the desert place. We need that boldness in the dangerous place. We need that boldness in the distant place. And that power is ours. And that power is available. Paul knew all about the Holy Ghost power in his witness. For he said in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's how Paul preached. That's why I regularly asked that when you pray for your minister, pray the Lord will anoint him with power. Need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power for our witness. We need the power for our warfare. For the two great powers in the world, that the power of God, and then there's the power of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That prince we once served, and that power, we were under that power and influence. But that has all changed. We now serve a greater prince, and we are controlled by a greater power, the power of the Holy Ghost. And that power is needed if we are to be victorious in our spiritual warfare with the devil. Because you see, of ourselves, we have no power to defeat the devil. We're kidding ourselves if we think we have. If we think we can outwit him, if we think we can defeat him, In our own strength and power, we will fail every time. We need the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know something? It doesn't matter how close we live to the Lord, the devil will be there to resist us. We know that from Zechariah 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan at his right hand to resist him. And so there is Joshua, the high priest, serving the Lord, standing before the angel of the Lord, and at his right hand is Satan, there to resist him. That's why we need the power, believer, of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, that we wrestle not against principalities, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you notice the repetition of the word against. The believer is to be against the devil, the wiles of the devil. We're to be against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For what communion hath light with darkness? None. And as Paul gave a word of exhortation to the Ephesian saints again in Ephesians 5:11, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We need the power to do that. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. But we'll be against the devil, for there is no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're to live holy lives. The Spirit of God will enable us to do that. As well as our witness, as well as our warfare, we need the Spirit's power in our walk, our day-to-day walk. What a victorious life we would live if we walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, that is the way we are exhorted to walk by the Apostle Paul. Colossians, in chapter 1. Colossians 1. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. That's how we are to walk, according to his glorious power. And Paul mentions that if our walk bears the signs of the fullness and the power of the Spirit of God, then we will be fruitful. That's what he says. being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How we need the power, believer. Just like the Savior, of whom we have already learned and noted. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power and went about doing good. The Savior's ministry was a fruitful ministry because of who he is, because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Is that not what we want? A fruitful life for the Lord. May we indeed know the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Last point, and briefly, we have the seeking of the power. We've spoken about the power of God. Now we may ask, well, how can I have this power? How can I know this power? We've already pointed out the Holy Spirit abides with us and in us. So the power is there and the power is available. How can we have such power? Very simple. We've only to ask. What were the apostles doing when they were meeting in the upper room waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit? We're told in verse 14 of Acts 1, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. They were praying when the Holy Ghost came. They were praying when they received the Holy Spirit and his power. That's what we need to do. Lord, give me, manifest the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. That power is available. We're his children. Spirit of God abides within us. We can have that power and know that power. So we need to pray to the Lord. There must also be purity of life. Man that lives for the world. A man that lives with one foot in the world and the other in the camp of the Christians will know nothing of that power. Nothing at all. What is the third person of the Trinity's name? He's called the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will only give his power to those who are holy. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. May we indeed have a desire for that power. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our loving Father, we do rejoice that such power, Holy Ghost power, heaven's power, divine power, is ours for the asking. Lord, have us to ask. And thou hast said, ask and you shall receive. Lord, grant us the power of the Holy Ghost to live for Thee, to be a witness for Thee in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts today. And Lord, bless us as we gather around Thy table. And for those, Lord, who must leave, I pray Thy blessing will be their portion. And Thy blessing will rest upon them and go with them. Keep Thy hand upon us, Lord, until we meet again. For we ask all these things in our Saviour's holy and precious name. Amen.